I'm testing sound. Testing sound. That's my name.
So now that's good. So you can do your impression now.
Yeah, see, I'll do, this is Richard Nixon.
No.
Mrs. Richard Nixon?
This is Mrs. Richard Nixon.
Pat. Pat Nixon.
A really big shoe.
No.
Wrong You're guy.
Pat Nixon.
I am not a
crook.
That's Uggy Doggy. Or Doggy Daddy.
Hello, cocktail fans, and welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with Fred or Jason. I couldn't decide who to say first.
Jason?
Fred and Jason.
Hello, cocktail fans, and welcome.
Oh, well, that's me.
Episode of Elegant Leisure. Yeah. The Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Yeah.
Not episode.
Well, no.
Although this actually will qualify as an episode.
It will. Yeah, technically.
Mm-hmm. Technically, it'll be episode 66.
66.
Like the old highway, mm-hmm. Route 66. You guys have been on Route 66, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've driven it.
We did. Yeah.
We had our kicks.
From Armadillo to...
Amarillo.
Not Armadillo.
No, we didn't go in anywhere.
I bet you there isn't an Armadillo. Armadillo.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go near it.
No, of course not. It's filled with, armadillos.
Dangerous armadillos.
Amarillo, Texas to...
Santa Monica. We drove onto the pier and then quickly back out again so we didn't have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Class all the way.
Wow.
So really just half of Route 66.
Right.
We've done Route
33. Yeah. Basically.
Wow. Well, good for you.
We'll be back again.
Sure. I'm going to do the other, the eastern half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The green half. We did the brown half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, other than the episode number, this show has nothing to do with Route 66.
No, this is our special Christmas episode.
Yeah. Where we're doing...
Nothing but Christmas drinks.
Yeah, nothing but Christmas drinks.
If you've heard our last Christmas episodes, chock full of Christmas drinks.
Were they?
Yeah,
they sure were.
And this one is, too, chock full of Christmas drinks. But the beauty of these drinks,
yes,
you could drink them any time of year.
And the nice thing about them is they have no connection to Christmas whatsoever.
Well, only in that it's Christmas time.
Yeah,
that's true.
And we're making cocktails.
Yeah,
hence.
So I guess connection. That does make them.
Mine is vaguely Christmassy.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, then mine is not.
Oh no! Well, you failed miserably.
Tell us how it's vaguely connected.
Well, this, I guess we're launching into it.
Yeah.
I hope you're both well. Are you both well?
I'm feeling good.
Why? What are you doing?
Are you coming down with something? Spread of germs?
I'm
getting a little scratchy in my throat.
Whatever I touched last episode, you should sterilize. I'm well too. I just want, if people are concerned about the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. They should be.
But... They think we're frail. We're about to expire at any time.
Well, now that they've seen us on video, they know that we actually are frail. We could expire at any time.
Yeah.
The reason mine may be Christmassy is that because it came out of the newspaper a few days ago.
Yeah.
And anything at this festive time of year.
Yeah.
For example, last week they had an article on schmaltz, which our Jewish friends use in the cooking of Hanukkah treats.
I have no idea.
Yes.
Schmaltz.
Now, I've made schmaltz.
Yeah?
Yes, I've rendered my own schmaltz and made my own...
Hanukkah treats?
Kreplac and some other stuff.
That sounds hard.
Oh, it's not hard. Oh. That is wonderful.
I should get my own schmaltz.
Oh, yeah, you can buy schmaltz.
Mm-hmm.
But what you really want is just chicken fat. Chicken skin.
Oh, yeah.
And you just render it down with a lot of onion.
Where do you get that?
You ever seen a chicken?
Well, sure.
Yeah, the outside of it is almost all skin and fat.
But they hold on to that real tight.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really tight. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's easier to get it off of a dead chicken.
I'm learning a lot in this episode already.
Yeah, no. A lot of your stores will sell dead chickens. It seems odd, doesn't it? Because you could go into an average store in your hometown and buy a dead chicken.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a bag of three. But you can. Ask around.
It doesn't seem to me like that would be fresh.
No, they keep them refrigerated.
No.
In many cases, they'll be actually frozen.
Yeah. But this cocktail contains no chicken.
There's no chicken. Oh, right, I forget how we even got onto it. Oh, yeah, because this was in the newspaper, and that's why it's Christmassy. And the headline is, in good spirits, seasonal spice and everything nice.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that qualifies.
There you go. Yeah. That qualifies.
All right. Yeah.
It says here, ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves.
None of those things are in this drink.
On wintry days, we crave the warming flavors of sweet spices. Mm-hmm. And what better way to add them to a cocktail than with a nice spiced rum?
Mm. Ow!
Right?
Yeah.
So then it goes on to describe this wonderful new product, newish product, mm-hmm. By the Lemonheart folks, Blackpool Spiced Rum.
Oh.
But it costs $26.
Oh. A bottle?
A bottle.
Wow.
And I have spiced rum at home.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And wow. So it's a little bit of a... The drink is called the London Town.
Yeah.
And it was made by a guy from the Lemonheart group. And so maybe it actually requires his Blackpool spiced rum.
Yeah.
So this might be more of a Camden Town.
Ah,
good point. Which is even more Christmassy because that's where Bob Cratchit lived.
Yeah. I've been to Camden Town.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in London. I went to Camden Town.
There's canals near Camden
Town.
There
is. Yes, canal. Mm. We took one of the canal boats right past Amy Winehouse's former residence. Because she, she's no longer with us, I'm afraid.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But it's a very nice area of London. Right. I recommend Camden Town.
All right. And just so you know, this episode was sponsored by the Camden Town Chamber of Commerce. You too can sponsor an episode, and we'll mention you right on the air.
Yep. Just like that.
Just like that.
And you want to mention who gave you the idea for this cocktail, don't you?
Yes.
One of our listeners.
One of our listeners.
Suggested it.
And you, too, could suggest a drink.
Sure.
No, not you.
I'm just looking at you.
Oh, I
should have looked at the microphone.
Yeah.
You, dear listener.
Can suggest
you
the...
You could look at the camera.
Yeah, nobody watches those.
I do.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, if you want to submit a drink, by all means.
And $15.
Oh, $15?
No.
This comes from a listener named Linda.
Oh. Linda listener?
She pointed it out.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
And we'll be sending you a tote bag and Broadway show tickets. Tickets to Cirque du Soleil.
Oh.
That offer is only good for the first request. So if you want a request now, you've missed out on our introductory thing. Anyway, yes, Linda suggested it. Seasonal spice and everything nice. So as I said, it calls for this Blackpool spiced rum, which sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the sound of it all. It's it's from Blackpool?
No.
Oh.
It's a Guyana rum because it's a Demerara rum.
Oh.
But it's got all of these flavors in it. He goes on to say, it's a shame we're not using it.
Guyanese.
He had 25 attempts to get it right.
Oh.
But he created an elegant, well-balanced blend of 3-year-old premium Demerara rums, then infused it with flavors of ginger, clove, nutmeg, cinnamon, black pepper, and vanilla.
Hmm.
We got Trader Vic's.
Which is also
spiced rum.
This is
the London Town drink?
This is the London Town.
Because when I looked it up, it was a gin drink, not a rum drink.
Yes, it's a...
That's a faux London Town. That's the wrong London
Town. That's a different one.
That's probably the original London Town. No. This is what this guy has called it. London Town. This variation is a classic Manhattan, is really what we're doing.
Oh.
We're getting added kick from the warm baking spice flavors of the Blackpool rum, or in this case, the somewhat questionable flavors
of Trader Vic's.
Trader Vic's spiced rum.
That's good. I hear a return match on the horizon.
Yes. And I did some research, some being not much, on the Trader Vic's spiced rum, because I wanted to get a read on what it might taste like. I did taste it straight, because I thought, is it going to be spicy enough? And it is spicy enough. I think it's going to do a nice job. But all the reviews of it said that it's better than Captain Morgan's spiced rum.
What is it?
Exactly.
Ouch.
Oh.
Sorry, Captain.
But Captain Morgan was huge. In fact, I think that's in this article, too. Captain Morgan came up with that in the 80s. Vicky, what is this? Back in the 1980s. I'm going to go back further. Until the 1960s, almost all rum was brown, aged in oak casks that imbued it with flavors of vanilla, toffee, spice, and dried fruit.
Perfect.
That's what they got.
A good time.
Then, just as vodka, the devil's brew, started its world domination, Bacardi, the devil's company, released white rum, and by the 1990s, 2/3 of the rum market was white.
What?
Yeah, the white. White! Which is kind of surprising,
eh? That is surprising. That is, yeah.
And then came Spice back in the 80s. Vicky Hountalas. Sorry, Vicky. Helped create Captain Morgan original spiced rum for Seagram's in Montreal. It was sweet, heavy on the vanilla, and lower in alcohol, 35%, which is what Trader Vic's actually is, 35%. Whereas this Blackpool stuff, had we got it.
Yes.
And I had it in my hand.
Oh, it was we're that close.
I was that close. But I had this Trader Vic's I wanted to use up. It's 43%. Anyway, lower in alcohol than most spirits. And it was a hit. Today, Captain Morgan is the 7th largest spirits brand in the world.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No.
And in terms of rum, second only to Bacardi in global recognition.
Well.
So I don't know who makes Captain Morgan. Seagram's, I guess.
Seagram's, I guess.
Right. Mm. But anyway, Lemon Heart is Guyanese, so it's got a lot of Demerara stuff. It's a whole different flavor profile, which is going to be completely different from what Trader Vic's has. Unless Trader Vic was trying to do something similar when they came up with this, whenever they came up with it.
Does it say where that rum is from? Like whether that, because they used to blend theirs from different countries, I think. Didn't that...
This is true. No, it does. Oh, it's a product of the West Indies.
Mm. That's pretty close.
So they're actually making it down there, but they bottled it in the States. Mm. I don't know. We're going
to
find out.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, looking
buying a bottle of Blackpool spiced rum.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, they call it the London Town, but as Dave points out, there's a gin drink called the London Town. So we're going to call this the Camden Town anyway, because we're not using Blackpool. We're using Trader Vic's.
Mm.
Perfect. And what area is the Trader Vic's in London in? What would we call that? It's right across from Hyde Park, but I don't know if that is Hyde Park. Or
if I call it, if it's across the street from Hyde Park, I'd call it Hyde Park, because I don't know London very well.
Right.
Oh, Dave, what do you think?
I can't remember what part of London that is, but...
I'm Camden sure it's Town it is, then.
Yeah, I guess so. I think Camden is actually north of that. But
yes, it is. It's way north from that.
Way north from
that. So you have to do this in a mixing glass. I didn't bring a mixing glass. I brought an open-topped cocktail shaker.
Yeah.
Which doubles as a mixing glass.
Sure it does.
You fill a mixing glass with ice cubes. You add the rum, the vermouth, and the bitters. Oh, yeah, this is what I was going to bitch about. So I go to the BC Liquor Store today.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it turns out now I'm out of goddamn sweet vermouth. So now I got to buy more goddamn sweet vermouth.
Well, it just means you have to drink more.
Well, exactly. Vermouth, for those of you that don't know it, is not a fan favorite. It's a learning curve on drinking it. You got to find a use
taste,
for it.
Maybe.
Yeah. And so because of that, they bottle it in 1 liter bottles.
I know.
Yeah. Most drinks call for like a less than an ounce of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be sure that your liter bottle will have gone stale the time you use it. Unless you're an Italian family and you use it for whatever the heck you use vermouth for. On a regular daily basis. Anyway, so I looked down at the shelf, and there it is, the 1 liter bottle. It's cheap enough. It's $10.99.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
What are you complaining about?
Next to it was the little bottle of dry vermouth. The little bottle, I think, is $8.99. But it's manageable. It's half of it.
Yeah, well.
And so I say to the girl, who's standing next to it,
yeah.
I say, hey, do you got the small bottles of the sweet vermouth?
Yeah.
And she said, no.
Just like that?
Yeah. And I said, oh.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah. She was playing along.
Yeah, no.
Sounds and so I said,
welcome to Canada, she said.
Do you know if any of your other stars have the small bottles?
Yeah.
And she said, I can find out. And so she goes over to customer service, which is literally 4 feet away.
Right.
And there's two girls sitting behind the thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And she interrupts their conversation.
Yeah.
And she says, they got the small bottles of this anywhere else? And they said, no, they don't. And I went, oh, well, I guess I'm getting that. And so I went back to work and looked it up.
Yeah.
And yes, all the other stores have the small bottles.
Except for that store.
Except for that store. So screw you, BC Liquor Store.
Well, cancel them as a potential sponsor.
That's right. This show is not brought to you by the BC Liquor Board.
Yeah, it sure ain't.
But anyway, I mean, I can't fault it as a deal. For $2 more, I got twice as much.
Well, then. Yeah.
So when I throw it out,
yeah.
I won't.
You drink that stuff like it's water.
I'm gonna.
Have a glassful before you go to bed?
For a mixing glass, fill a mixing glass with ice cubes, add rum, vermouth, and bitters. Stir for about a minute. A minute?
A minute.
Strain into a chilled coupe. These are not chilled, but they are coupe.
They're coupe-ish.
Or a martini glass.
Yeah.
Twist the orange peel, which we have, over the liquid to release its fragrant oils, then drop it into the glass.
Serves one individual at Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And that's what Christmas is all about.
It is.
Being by yourself drinking.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people have tried to spin this family nonsense.
Yeah.
But that is not true.
That's not
the case. It is a time for sullen, inward...
Introspection?
Sullen introspection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
You buy maybe 5 or 10 advent calendars, and you eat them all one by one.
By the 15th.
or on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
As you make your...
Well, you're more traditional than I am.
I am more traditional. But this is untraditional. This is a spiced rum Manhattan going by the name Camden Town.
All right.
Or maybe we should call it New In Town.
Jimmy's New In Town. Did you know that?
I did know that Jimmy was New In Town.
Here we go.
I think Jimmy likes you, Jason.
Oh, boy, those things are really stuck together.
Yeah, they are. Dave breathed all over them beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
You're going to have to really whack those things in.
Now, the beauty of the Trader Vic's spiced rum is it comes in your 75 milliliter bottles.
750?
Yeah, what did I say?
75?
Yeah, they do the two, and I got the big one.
Yeah.
750 milliliter one. Which is good, because I've drank it over the years. I got this at the BC Liquor Store. They have a lot of great deals at the BC Liquor Store.
Oh, sure, they're great people.
Yeah,
they got everything.
Don't hear, you hear a lot of bad stuff about the BC Liquor Store.
Yeah, none of it's true.
None of it's true.
No,
this was on sale when I got it a few years ago. And this is what 4 ounces actually looks like. I pre-measured it.
Oh.
I wanted to make sure I had enough. It looks great when you're making a cocktail just to dump the entire contents of a bottle into it.
Yeah, but still...
I'm not gonna vermouth.
On the way home, you're going to have to buy a bottle of that black cool stuff because you're all in a spiced rum now.
That's right. Well, I guess
what
maybe
are you gonna do?
If we love the drink, that might be a thing that's going to have to happen. 3/4 ounce of sweet vermouth goes in.
So that's a little bit sweet and a little bit sweet. So this could be sweet.
Yes. It says 2 ounces. No, it doesn't. It says 2 dashes of Angostura or Bittered Sling Kensington Bitters. And I thought, well, we had Angostura. But as it turned out, I still had... Bittered Sling Kensington Aromatic Bitters.
What?
In the tiniest echinacea-sized bottle.
Did you ask them if they had the 750 milliliter one?
No, I was hoping for just the 75. So we'll put in some dashes of that. Smells like soup.
What? It shouldn't smell like soup.
Well,
how many dashes are you putting in that?
It comes out only in very tall, small drops.
Oh. Can I have a little whiff of that?
Sure, you whiff away. Welcome to Simon King's Whiffle City. So that's all that goes into this thing.
Sort of herby.
Yeah.
Herbaceous. A little bit what I think the rum should be smelling like. So it's got a lot of miscellaneous flavors in it. It's kind of neat.
Yeah,
well, I like it.
You want to smell the rum too? I'm going to stir this
rum
for a minute
smeller.
While you smell rum.
Well, if it, quickly before it evaporates.
Yes.
See what's left. Walk across the...
Oh, see, I would pass it to you, but I'm stirring.
You got a minute. Yeah.
I got a minute to win it.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Is it too sweet?
It's sweet. It does remind me, I've got some Sailor Jerry's.
Oh, yeah. See, nobody mentions Sailor Jerry spice rum anymore.
Well, for all the obvious reasons. Oh, that's up there. Yes, there are. But it reminds me very much of that, which I inherited from somebody who said, I'm never going to drink this.
Really?
Who? Miss Sherman.
Miss Sherman?
Yeah.
Sheila Sherman, friend of the show.
Yes, she is. But she doesn't make enough cocktails to justify having a bottle of Sailor Jerry's lying around the house, so...
You know what she should do?
No.
Because she enjoys her beer, does our Sheila Sherman.
She does.
She should pour rum in her beer.
Well, she might not.
I've done that before.
Have you?
I was going through a hard time. Oh.
but we've... she's come over a few times, so, you know, she's getting her rum back.
All right.
One cocktail at a time.
Good.
think that's more than a minute.
It probably is.
Yeah, you stopped watching the clock there, buddy.
Well, Dave never invested in the second hand on that clock.
Actually, didn't he take the battery out of that?
No, it's back on. It's back operational now.
Oh, glad to hear it.
Everybody on the show, of course, knows it as the clock that ticks only once every 2 seconds. Right?
That's right.
So let's have this.
Look at that.
Rummy Manhattan. Sounds like a Remy Martin.
It does.
A little bit more on this guy here. Oh, someone gets the short end of the stick. Someone's the mule.
But it looks, it's very, Manhattan-y looking, I would say.
Yes.
Oh, I have to say something, and I do.
We get a little bit of orange onto everybody's beverage. Oops.
Oh, I got a picture of that, too. Good.
Did you? Gotta make sure we get the oils in
there.
We've
never done flaming oils, have we?
I forget if we tried to do it one time and we didn't. I've done it at home. All right, fellas. Here we go. Camden Town.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have the little baby one, because I'm so sweet.
Well, you can certainly smell the citrus.
Yes, because the oils rest on the top of the drink. Mm-hmm. And so that when you put your nose in there, you're going to get some oranginess. But let's see if any of the spices from the rum come through.
Holy macaroni.
Fred has made a face.
It's definitely rummy.
Dave says it's rummy. I'm going to try it too.
Rummy, but not crummy.
I do like it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got an earthy, rootsy kind of...
Because you don't get the... So the citrus is all on the nose. There's none in the drink. That's always a bit of a surprise.
Yes. Yes, that's like the old 20th century one. They put the lemony on the nose and it tastes like chocolate. And you're like, what? Somebody broke my face.
But, it feels a little thin, and I'm not sure why.
I put a crayon in it.
Oh!
I only had an ounce of rum, and I stretched it out with 3 ounces of water.
No, it's boozy. Definitely. It doesn't have a lot of layers, and I think... I don't know why.
It's because we didn't use the right...
the right rum.
The right rum.
Yeah, the vermouth seems to be in the driver's seat on this, if I was going to...
Yeah, but I think I am getting some spices.
Oh, no, there's definitely some spice. You get a spice hit.
From this particular collection, I don't know if I would get the Christmassy ones. But then, here's what I almost did, and this would have been stupid. Because I was thinking I had a little bit of that ginger liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to dump a little ginger liqueur into it as well to try to get the ginger that they talk about that's in the Blackpool one.
Right.
This Blackpool one sounds great. But I'm quitting drinking in the new year, so I'm not buying anything new.
What are you going to start?
What am I going to start?
Yeah. You're just going to stop drinking.
Yeah. I'm going to start living right.
What?
Yeah.
How's that going to be different?
So it's going to be all leafy greens.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm getting a Bowflex. I don't know. Anyway, that's the Camden Town. And it's based on the London Town.
But without the gin.
But without the gin. And it's also based on the Lemon Heart version of the London Town, which you should try. Go get the Lemon Heart and Son Blackpool Spiced Rum. Eventually, somebody here will get it, and we'll try it and give you a review. Probably Dave. Dave's a big rum guy.
Mm-hmm.
More gin than bourbon. Well, okay, I guess I can put rum in number 3 position.
You think about how much rum you've had over the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about
it. I could grow on me. Sure. Like an algae.
Sure, or a moss.
Moss, yeah.
Old man's beard, whatever that stuff that grows in the trees on the west coast of Vancouver Island.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually, as I'm sipping it, I'm getting to like it more and more.
Sure, it's making you think of seasonal spice and everything nice.
Well, I mean, what doesn't?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
'Tis the season, after all.
Booth agrees with his drink. He says it's smooth, it's round, it's got a nice clean finish, it's very versatile, you can drink... Well, I'm not going to promote this other rum anymore because we didn't use it. But that's what the drink
was. It does have a clean finish. It doesn't linger too much, which, I don't know, sometimes I like a drink to stick around in my mouth.
Yeah, although I'm finding that it sticks around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't just disappear. Like,
That's true. Actually, I had some salty snacks, so that probably did it in.
Salty snacks will be the death of you.
More than likely.
I'll get my blood pressure pump and see if I'm sure he's 120 over 80.
Yeah, he can go through the roof.
Yep. That's a good number.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think it's going to be 120 over
80. Oh, I'm 120 over 80. I'm right on. I'm dead on. Mm. I'm that guy. It's your textbook, they always say.
Really?
Mm. Well, sometimes.
I'm also a textbook example.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm not going to say of what. Oh.
But a textbook somewhere has your photo in it.
Yes, I'm used as patient zero for something that I will not mention on the air. Oh. Wow.
A man of intrigue.
Well, Bill, I feel like I should know.
Well. Nope.
No. Oh.
Okay. All right. You're incorrect. I've already forgot where my improv was going. Mm.
It trailed off.
That means that the Camden Town works.
Yeah.
It will disorient you quicker than Bob's your uncle.
Quicker than a London cabbie.
Speaking of uncles.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have some feedback from...
Yes, another one of our listeners has written in.
Oh. Written in?
Written in.
Like a postcard?
Yeah. Well, he likes to write longhand. Dearest nephew, I take a quill in hand.
Yeah. On a big yellow legal pad, isn't it? Yeah.
Parchment.
He prefers parchment.
Well, because he's a classy guy. Yeah.
That's right. Uncle Jack, one of our listeners.
Does he call himself that? Goes around saying, "Hi, I'm Uncle Jack," to anybody and everybody?
He doesn't. He plays his cards close to his vest, so I'm only going to refer to him as Uncle Jack.
Oh. Okay.
Until he gives me clearance to give out his full name and address and family members.
Okay. Fair enough.
He may or may not be your uncle, and his name may or may not be Jack.
That's right. I'm going to give him Uncle.
Okay.
Because he's always been around. But you're right, I've seen no proof. Yeah. Oh, actually, no, I actually have seen proof.
Have you?
Yeah.
You saw some ID once?
Well, at least some DNA stuff that shows that he's related to other people that also claim to be family members. Oh. So, yeah, I'm going to give the stamp of approval to Uncle Jack.
All right. What has he got to say?
Well, he contacted. He was the one, of course, that got me that little issue of The Alchemist.
The Alchemist, yes.
And he has another issue of The Alchemist for me. But he was. We were talking about Sunday shopping.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On episodes
that's right.
Ago.
That's right, yeah.
64.
Yes. He says there was no Sunday shopping in Canada until the 80s, which I think we probably all agreed on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I seem to recall that, yeah.
And he checked with his older brother, Bob, though. Mm-hmm. I actually have an uncle named Bob. Mm. I have two uncles named Bob.
Well.
But they're actually named Robert.
Bob's are your uncles?
Bob's are your uncles, often say to me.
Yeah.
And Bob, living in White Rock in the early 60s, mm-hmm. where Dave and I grew up, and we're near where you live to this very day, Fred Partridge. Everything was open on Mondays. But you, I think, claimed in the episode that there Mondays, a lot of places were closed.
Yep. Woodward's was.
Woodward's was. Hmm.
No wonder they went out of business.
Yes, exactly.
Woodward's was closed on Mondays. And you know this because you actually worked there.
I worked there. Now, when I worked there, they were open on Mondays. But I remember.
So the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
But no, but I specifically remember we went there as a family to go shopping on a Monday, and it was closed.
Was this like at night, though? Late at night?
It was about 2 in the morning.
Oh. That's unusual to be closed.
Yeah, a lot of your departments. You're
at the doors.
Back then.
Yeah. Anybody in there?
That's when they were refrigerating the chickens.
It's a good thing, though.
So anyway, he wanted to comment on that. Yeah, in White Rock, Monday's Safeway, the pubs... No, there wasn't. He says pubs, but of course, we had no pubs.
Now I'm starting to question his...
memory.
And then he had... there was a roaring trade in Canadians driving to Point Roberts and Blaine to get liquored up on Sundays.
Yes.
A lot of people drove down there to get at the Pastime Tavern or whatever it was called in Blaine. Mm-hmm. And I guess Gene Kaniski's must have done business in Point Roberts.
He cleaned up.
Gene Kaniski's a big wrestler. For you wrestling fans that listen in, Google Gene Kaniski.
Yeah.
Kaniski?
Kaniski.
Yeah.
K-I-N-I-S-K-I.
Our friend Tom met him.
Mm.
Was putting a couple of wrestling holds.
Yeah.
And Tom's never walked right.
He's got a little crooked now.
And then he added at the end here, there was an article in the Vancouver Sun and the National Post.
I don't know.
About tipping in Canada.
Tipping?
Yes. Well, that's... right up our alley.
Exactly.
Right?
So regarding tax evasion, the disparity in income between front and back of house staff was covered. And a point was made that the USA staff making minimum wage are sometimes getting peanuts. Or zero if they are criminal immigrants, right? They're not getting paid anything.
Right.
Except for the tips that they get.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. And of course, if you live in Canada, you're going to have your medical will probably be covered, not necessarily by your employer, but somehow you are going to have access to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these poor people in the States, they might, you have to really tip big in the States.
That's all they're getting.
That's all they're getting.
Suffering psychotax.
Meanwhile, servers in Canada are pulling in about $150,000 a year.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all driving Bentleys and Teslas.
Yes. So I thought that was sort of interesting. And then he sent a follow-up.
Wow, he's more invested in this show than we are.
He's verbose.
Exactly.
Does he want to get a job here?
We should bring him on. This episode is sponsored by Uncle Jack. Because now we were also talking about the ladies and gents.
Separate entrances.
Separate entrances into the places. Beer parlors, as they were called. He started drinking, he says here, when he was 18. Now, I don't know if that was legal.
Well, first of all, not legal. And second of all, why did he wait till he was 18?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I think he's...
Oh, there you go. 1 year before I was fully legal. First at the Ocean Beach Hotel in White Rock, which is still there to this day. But I think they card you now.
Yeah, they changed the name. Yeah, I got carded there just last week.
And then also in Vancouver and Burnaby. All of these beer parlors he went to were in hotels, and they had the two entrances. But in the 70s, these were already a relic of the past. He doesn't know when the rules ended for them. At the Ocean Beach, though, do you remember at the Ocean Beach seeing a sign that said...
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do. Like in the 70s, yeah. I think there was a separate.
So the one maybe to the west...
I don't remember.
Because one actually had ended into that lobby, that crummy lobby they had.
We should ask Tom Saunders.
We should.
The local historian.
I'd probably have a picture of it.
Oh, sure.
More than likely.
He says here, at the Ocean Beach Hotel, which became my bar until 1973, you could go in either entrance. However, he says, I usually went in the gents, and couples tended to drink on the right side of the room, which was where the ladies and gents entrance led. Isn't that weird that you would have that leftover thing where couples would sit over here?
That's right. Some of the signs said ladies and gents, not ladies and escorts.
Oh, okay.
I remember that. Well, this is weird.
Yeah. Well, this is the fun you can have if you write into the show.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the rules for drinking were you couldn't stand. You had to sit.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to move tables, the waiter moved your beer, which I think we talked about.
Yep.
I think that was one of the things until recently that was the case. But yeah, no standing. So I guess you couldn't even stand at the bar.
No.
You must have had stools at the bar, right?
That's right. If there's no stools, you could not have a drink.
And as we were saying, there were no TVs and very limited food selection. And he says the Ocean Beach had pickled eggs and pickled sausage. And I do remember seeing big jars of that around. But isn't that funny that was... No entertainment.
No. Absolutely not.
And police walkthroughs at night. He says he never saw wine or mixed drinks being consumed at the Ocean Beach Hotel.
I'm not surprised.
That was done in a hotel lounge, a separate, pricier hotel establishment, and the OB, as we lovingly called it, did not have one.
It was not that.
Now, I don't know if at this point it also had strippers, because it ended up as a strip club.
They did for a while, yes. At some point, every hotel...
They must have changed the law, because that's entertainment.
Exactly. But I'm wondering, I should have asked him, when he was there, was it pre-stripper?
I don't think he's going to talk about that.
Maybe not.
I remember, actually, that's funny, because I took Howard there.
Your brother.
My brother, Howard, for his stag. It was a multi-leveled stag. So we started there, and then we were going to go to Stan's house, and he was going to have the party there.
Right.
We got to the OB, and the power was out. So there's no strippers, no drinks. We sat down. I think we had a coffee, and then we left.
Wow.
Wow. What a way to start your stag. A cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Well, as I recall, because I joined the stag at Stan's place.
That's right.
And it was a pretty quiet affair there as well.
Now, that's the way he wanted it.
That's right.
He wanted it more like a wink.
Yeah. It's
well, it fit the bill.
Wow.
And anyway, I thought that was interesting to have that point of view delivered to us.
The fact that somebody even listened to an episode, I think, is pretty remarkable. And then made notes.
Yes, and I could also quiz his brother, also my uncle, which I could verify. Uncle Bill, because he was a bartender.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, I did not know that.
In the 80s. I remember we went down when he was working at the Blarney Stone. He worked at the Blarney Stone.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Back in the big heyday of the Blarney Stone.
Why isn't he on this show?
Exactly. I don't know. We haven't figured out how to have guests on yet.
Oh, not enough chairs.
It says here, as far as Uncle Jack remembers, he started at the Newton Inn, and I have heard his Newton Inn stories.
Oh, that's notorious. The notorious Newton Inn.
Yes. Yikes. Patton Oswalt played the Newton Inn for a week.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay. I know that he has a story.
He's not happy about it.
I thought he played that Sir Laugh-a-Lots out in Wally.
No, he's
the Newton Inn.
He lived in Newton for a week.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you can find the story
online.
Right?
Yeah.
You can Google Patton Oswalt. We should put a link to it in the thing. Yeah, he did not enjoy his time.
No.
Well, imagine living here in Surrey.
It was even worse. And I think when that guy was shot in the bar, that was sort of the beginning of the end for the Newton Inn.
I have a Newton Inn story, too. That was the very first place that I saw strippers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was way too early in the day. It was around 5.
Yeah.
And they had a big screen TV for showing sports on in the background.
Yeah.
And some poor girl was up dancing.
Yeah.
There was nobody in the place. It was just me and my loser friends. This was, we were all going out for strippers. And for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background, Mary Tyler Moore was on the big screen. The Mary Tyler Moore show. And I thought, for all she did to empower women, and now there's a pole dancer in front of her. At the Newton Inn.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bill started at the Newton Inn and he ended at the Hotel Vancouver in the Four Seasons.
Well, can he get us into those places?
Well, we can ask him.
All right.
Can he get us fake ID?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
I hope he can.
I want fake ID. I want ID that says I'm 22.
All right, so we're moving on to cocktail number 2.
Yes, but thank you, Uncle Jack, for the information, I hope you enjoyed our comments on it. I wish we had you here so we could really pin you down on it.
Yeah.
Uncle Jack is a beer drinker.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would ever come out for beer cocktails.
Oh,
we got to work on that, because I wish I could figure out what I had at the Hawthorne.
Right, the Hawthorne a beer market.
Yeah.
Dear, are you going to need the strainer? You want me to dump that ice out for you?
What's in it?
Some rum and some Kensington bitters and some vermouth.
Yeah, no, dump that out.
I will.
So, Fred, tell us what you have in store for us, because you're making drink number 2.
Yeah, I'm making drink number 2. Oh, I should save this egg yolk for later.
No, sure, yeah. Don't let it. groceries are expensive now.
Now my hands are all full of egg white. Well, I'm going to do, because we're doing this one because I thought, well, we must have done a whiskey sour.
That's what you said you thought.
And I
thought we had done a whiskey sour, but
I can't prove it.
Right, even though you're the only guy with the list of all the drinks we've done.
Well, I've sent it to you guys, so it's not like I'm the only guy.
Well, I don't open every email I get.
Well, you should. You should open every email. Sorry if you didn't hear that. So, you should open every email, especially if it's from me.
I don't open every letter I get.
What?
Only your Uncle Jack.
Only Uncle Jack gets through my strict filtering system.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. In fact, if you send me anything that's over a megabyte, I have to delete it because there's no room left on the server to.
Why is it on your server? You should download it onto your computer.
Yeah, I'm afraid that if I download it onto my computer, it'll cause grievous bodily harm to my computer.
Why would the people all over the world do that?
Yeah, I know, but right now if I did it, it would be including the 1,500 unread emails that I have in my inbox.
I've got 6,000 unread emails.
Oh, there you go.
That's all fine.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So, anyway... Yes, anyway.
How did we get here? What am I even talking about?
You think we've never done a whiskey sour.
I don't think we've ever done a whiskey sour. And if we have, well, it's too late. We're doing another one.
Well, all right. And so people at home are also doing...
Yeah,
they're doing it. Is it a whiskey sour or a whiskey sour?
It's going to be a viscous sour.
Oh, good.
Because I'm using egg white.
that they pointed out is the Boston version.
Is that right?
It's a Boston sour.
Boston sour. Well,
and here's another variation. Put a couple spoonfuls of red wine, and it becomes, I think it becomes the New York sour.
Wow.
Many sours.
Well, why didn't we just do a sour episode?
A lot of people because we've done so many cocktails that are like sours, gin sours, yeah. Right? We've done
most of our episodes are sour episodes.
And the other reason I wanted to do this is I had one. I was in Edmonton last week. Lovely Edmonton.
The jewel of the north,
the
they
jewel
call
of
it.
The north. And I ordered a whiskey sour at the bar, the hotel bar. Everybody was drinking beers, and I thought I'd, you know, stand out.
Sure. Class up those Edmontonians.
And it was meh. It just was something missing. So I don't know if they use bottled lemon, and there's no egg white. So I thought, yeah, it was sort of... But in Vegas, a couple of years ago, I had one in a random hotel there, and it was like, meh, great. Hmm. I loved it. So I know they can be great. So I think if you go right to the basics, like we do... Mm-hmm. Often. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why this couldn't be a great drink.
So is this a Jerry Thomas recipe? Are we going back to the 1800s?
Well, you know, sure.
And are you going out on the limb here and saying that Las Vegas might be better than Edmonton, Alberta?
Well, depending on the circumstances, it's possible.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah. controversial comment.
I know. I'm sticking my neck out a little bit. We'll see.
Las Vegas has a better hockey team than Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're right.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you.
But, I mean, in fairness, Vancouver doesn't even have a hockey team. So,
not that I've noticed. One thing I didn't bring mm-hmm. is a...
boxing gloves?
Boxing gloves.
Container of milk?
Container of milk. I also don't have a metronome or a lemon juicer.
Well, you know who does have a lemon juicer?
Me.
Really?
Yes.
I got a lemon juicer.
Oh, that's a lifesaver.
David Vincent Coyne is the sole proprietor of said juicer.
I like to call him Vinny.
Yeah, a lot of people like to call him Vinny.
And
he will not respond to it.
I also did not...
Do you know I have a cousin, Vinny? Yeah.
And you got
just
you
like the movie.
Got you out of a scrape one time? Did you say Utes?
Utes. I also did not bring my jigger.
I brought a jigger.
Did you? What are you doing with it?
Well, it's there in front of you somewhere.
Oh, that's right there. It's got some brown liquid on the bottom.
Well, I'll rinse out the brown liquid.
Oh, okay.
It's probably rum.
I'm ill-prepared for this. I actually don't even know the recipe, but I'm going to... I think I remember it.
He's awful.
I know I am.
You know how to grind a lemon.
I do know how to grind a lemon. Yeah. Hopefully we get enough out of this one.
The tails, the what else? What else is in the ingredients?
Well, the ingredients are really basic. So it's lemon juice and whiskey.
Oh, that is basic.
You know, right. It doesn't get any. And simple
and
syrup.
The egg white. Right?
And simple syrup. The egg white is sort of an extra thing.
And what do you do with the egg yolk?
I'm going to have it later.
Nice.
Okay,
give yourself an omelet.
I'm going to mix it with sugar and make some what I like to call egg and sugar.
Wow.
What my nieces say, call gross.
Right. Well, I guess it's like it's some form of cookie dough, minus a lot of the other cookie dough elements,
it's
right?
Or like a cake batter.
Yeah, like a cake batter.
Without all the flour.
Mm-hmm, or like a frosting without the frosting components. It's like the egg and sugar part.
Basically.
Yeah.
The egg and sugar part.
You know what? Maybe if you added butter to it, maybe the nieces would go for it.
I think I'm going to try that next time.
Mm-hmm. You lick it off a spatula?
Oh, try and get me to not lick it off a spatula.
Okay.
you know what I mean.
That's the new game.
I gotta get new glasses. Is this the new one?
This is the old one.
Oh, it's the old one.
So the ounces are on the inside and they're still legible.
The O's, okay. Yeah. Or ounces.
Or ounce, yeah, either an O's or an ounce.
You know, because I don't have the recipe, I'm going to go with it's a half an ounce.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of lemon juice for a half an ounce.
I know.
No. Okay.
No.
I kind of thought you were going to have a recipe.
I kind of thought I was too. I don't know how that didn't happen, actually.
And why I'm wasting precious video on this.
We're all wondering that.
So, this is sort of freeform. This is kind of fun, I guess. So this is what Fred is saying to you at home, is that if you have a spirit and a lemon,
yeah,
You can pretend to make a cocktail. Is this one is this one of those things where it's one of strong, two of weak, three of four, four of six?
It actually would be exactly that.
Okay.
So. I think I probably have to put in more lemon.
Is it one of strong, two of weak, three of sour, four of sweet? Is that, are they trying to rhyme weak and sweet?
Yeah, but I think it's the other way around. I mean, you wouldn't
four
have...
of strong? No.
Yeah, because you'd have more of the booze.
Yeah. Oh, I guess
and less of the lemon. You wouldn't have 2 ounces of lemon and a quarter ounce of booze.
And 4 ounces of sugar syrup?
Yeah, if you think about that.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Okay, good.
Four of strong, three of weak, two of sweet, and one of sour. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good thing we don't do a podcast about this.
So,
welcome to our first episode. We're calling it episode 65. But.
This is our first one. So I've got basically 2 ounces of booze. I've got and a quarter ounce of... No, I've got a half ounce of lemon juice. And I'm going to put... Now, this is the thing about the whiskey sour. And this is in Imbibe, I think. Mm. So there's a lot of discussions about whether whiskey sour is sour or sweet.
Right.
But it's actually sweet. You add the sugar syrup to it. So, and that's the original way. Now people make them a little more sour now because they're confused by the name.
Right, I can see that.
But it's I don't know if it's ironic, but it's it's not that sweet.
Right.
No, not that sour. I mean, you've got the sour, but you've got the sweet layer on top.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been that they came up with the sour because it was going to have lemon in it, mm-hmm. but it would have been more like a lemonade. It would be like whiskey lemonade, and because lemonade was sour, they call it sour, so it's a whiskey sour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's the entomology on it.
I like that entomology. Oh, that's about bugs, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Because that's our next segment. I brought in a 3-foot centipede for you to pet. Dave and I went to the bug zoo in Victoria one time, and they had little blue scorpions. And they said to us, hey, would you like to hold the scorpion?
Yeah.
And Dave and I said, no. And they said, oh, well, it's okay if it stings you. It's just like a bee sting.
No, we don't want that either.
I spent all my life trying to avoid bee stings.
No.
Why would I encourage that?
It's only like if you put a thumbtack in your hand. You know how it hurts?
Yeah.
That's the worst it would be.
You know what? You're using a stapler, and you accidentally put a staple in your finger.
Yeah,
it's no worse than that.
No, that would be the worst. If one of these little blue scorpions stung you, you wouldn't die.
No,
you would just have a stabbing pain in your hand where it happened.
Yeah,
like a nail gun accident.
Yeah, she was confused by our reticence.
I don't know why.
And of course, she held it and it didn't sting her. I mean, it probably wouldn't have stung
her. Oh, sure, if it didn't sting you, you can be pretty confident and kind of mouthy.
But Dave and I were all about the stick insects. We loved the stick insects.
Of course you did.
Because they didn't bite. Had they said there's a chance that one of these might give you like a bee sting, we also would not have touched the stick insects.
Those either.
Or those drinks. For
just a second. What am I thinking?
I forgot something, didn't you?
I did forget something.
You didn't shake it with the egg white to give it the frothy that viscosity right that we've longed for lo these many years.
It's the last time I do this. They're all yours from here on out. I forgot all the things we had to do.
Tune in next episode for our final episode of The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
Well, once we finally figure it out. I hope this is nice. I hope this tastes good.
I do too.
Because
I finished my other drink.
I brought garnish. Now I brought some black walnut bitters, which...
they're going to go in at the end?
That makes a different drink, right? And so I'm just not sure.
Holy cow.
Just a second here. There's a lot more in here than you would think. It's just coming
out. You could use the Hawthorne strainer if you wanted.
I think maybe I will, because this is taking forever. You got little tiny holes in your... if you don't mind me saying.
No, exactly. Well, my family's famous for small holes. It saved us during the revolution.
Let's see how this works.
Oh, yeah, it pours almost like a liquid coming out of a huge can.
So these are tiny drinks, but that's because they're mainly booze.
Okay. And you've doubled the proportions of this, or you've just...
I doubled it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to throw a Luxardo wonderful cherry in there, are you?
I was going to put them on a stick, but I don't have time for that.
No, no. This is it's all time sensitive. Oh, my gosh. It's starting to look like a Halloween drink here. We've got syrup all over the side of the deal.
So, you know, I am a trained professional. Mm-hmm. Not in this.
No, no, exactly.
But, you know, in other things.
Badminton.
Badminton. So what I was thinking I'd do is I'd hold back the black walnut bitters, mm-hmm. have a couple of sips, and if you guys are interested, we'll throw a couple of those in. That's how SNL does their sour.
Mm.
They call it black walnut sour, ironically enough.
Really? There we go. Who is that again?
SNL.
SNL.
S&L.
Now, they're sort of a company around here that makes food for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them blurry shots that we're so famous for. There we go.
You gonna sit over there?
I will sit over here.
Have that?
I like to throw people off with my heavy breathing.
So there you go. It's got some foam from the egg white.
It does.
All right.
It foams up quite nice.
Yeah.
And the blood dripping outside to the wreckage at the bottom is also...
This could have been a Halloween cocktail. That's right.
Visually appealing.
It's funny. It's even though it's mainly booze,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't taste that boozy.
No, it doesn't. That's what surprised me.
And the lemon isn't like puckering.
Pucker power, no. Pucker.
No.
How does this compare to the Las Vegas whiskey sour that gave you faith in humanity?
It's very close.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, no. The egg white, people would be squeamish and people would be silly mm-hmm. about this. And if you were here, I would slap you so hard in the face, you squeamish little prick. And an egg white in you. It's not going to kill you. Unless you're deathly allergic to egg white.
Yeah, then don't.
No, do not no, do it. Don't, I take no, it back.
Don't take our taunting.
But it makes such a difference in the thing. And I know it sounds crazy and it's that, but I mean, the eggs that we have today, they're pasteurized and they're refrigerated. I mean, the rest of the world laughs at us for refrigerating eggs. Nobody refrigerates eggs.
No. No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin them.
We treat the eggs like they're some kind of, I don't know. Anyway.
Like they're little babies.
Like they're little...
Like they're baby chickens.
How many times have we lectured Fred about not eating while the podcast is on? But again, he keeps getting into the bar snacks.
He is.
He's like a dog. You just can't, you know, you put food down.
I can't help
he's
myself. Got a right there in front of me.
Snout in there. And
with a little crunching. Bit of salt.
You know what we should only have available is pickled eggs and pickled sausage.
Yeah.
Nice, quiet food for Fred to notch on during the show.
Be great.
But yeah, the egg white gives it a mouthfeel like you can't imagine. And I know everybody's terrified. Everybody's scared until you do it the first time. It's like, oh, what is this egg white? It's going to be slimy. You've seen what a cracked egg looks like. It doesn't look like that. No. Have you seen what a beaten egg looks like? You ever had a meringue? You piece of crap. You motherless hump. You never had a meringue
oh, right.
in your life?
You're going to add bitters, so
I'm going to give you all a dash of bitters.
All right.
Now, what kind of bitters is these? Walnut bitters.
It's a black walnut bitter.
And where did you get this?
This I got from Gourmet Warehouse.
Ah, the fine folks at Gourmet Warehouse.
It's a Fee Brothers.
For $15, we'll tell you where they're
where it is, yep. You have to pay for the address.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was a thing of black walnut bitters. Oh, I didn't know it existed.
Yeah. Maybe a little drop.
I think I might have known. Only
you
want to
shake that around?
Sure, I'll swirl it around with black walnut, see if it makes a...
Now, all bitters, to me, smell kind of the same, except for, like, Peychaud, which has that other business going on. Let's see how this is. See if it's soupy.
You got enough in there?
Yeah. No, I think you just put a drop. I think that's just the perfect amount.
It changes the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
holy
it does
cow.
Change it.
I think I preferred it without the black walnut bitters, but it's still nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But you do get that walnut, that little bit of astringency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what that is? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what that was.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. See, have you ever bitten a banana peel?
Yeah. That's what I just gave you. Mm. I turned your drink into something unpalatable.
Can you
put some alum in it as well?
See, I don't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
Since you got me convinced that bitter is just a flavor.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't a bad thing.
No. I want you to drink a glass of half vermouth and half bitters.
One of the cocktails in Forgotten Cocktails calls for like 3/4 of an ounce of bitters. Mm. I can't remember which one it is. And I tried it, and holy
shit!
Is that what you wanted to say?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it packs a hell of a potent punch.
Yeah,
sure. It's 3/4.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount of bitters. We should find it. Maybe we should try making that.
We should.
And, you know, it wasn't bad, but it was just like
there was a.
Yes?
A bunch of Angostura bitter recipes.
That wasn't the tape slowing down, ladies and gentlemen. That wasn't some sort of error. That was just Jason goofing off.
In the Imbibe magazine, which involved large amounts, an ounce of bitters kind of a thing, as opposed to a drop. And I've had a drink from like a pop. That was kind of Angostura makes a pop of some sort, a soda pop, if you will. Not a cola, but some sort of probably. Imagine a bunch of Angostura bitters,
right?
And then maybe
sarsaparilla,
and just club soda
and club soda, maybe some sugar because I think it was a little bit sweet, but it got that flavor out.
Wow,
it was pretty good. I got enough gas to go to Pittsburgh.
Good.
I'm deathly allergic to bitters.
As it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you got enough gas to get you down the other half of Route 66?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
So goes nowhere near Pittsburgh.
No. Mm. Yeah. So
no black walnut bitters for you then?
Well, maybe not. If it's astringent.
Yeah.
And it was.
And it was. So maybe not.
Unless I anticipate it. If I was to say, I need in this is something to make it unpalatable.
Yeah.
Or you're definitely allergic to nuts.
But But no, it's nice. Mm. I just think I liked it without.
All right.
I didn't want to have that extra bit of thinking in it. But I'm not going to poo-poo it to the point of not having it. In fact, I'm going to have a glass of it before we go.
Oh, good.
To show I'm a good sport.
Yeah, well, thank you. I don't know why I thank you, but I thank you nonetheless.
Mm. And we thank you, too, for listening in. And until next time, you're too big.
Oh, a false ending. Yeah. That's what you threw in there.
Yeah. But that's good. I like a whiskey sour that's made well. Except for the walnut bitters, this was pretty good.
This was very good.
I might have... I could have put in more lemon. But this seemed about right. Because you still had a little bit of the character of the whiskey. Not a lot. But it was there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there was whiskey.
On account of the booze.
On account of the booze, I forgot there was whiskey in it.
But it's scotch, right?
Yeah.
Scotch
whiskey. It's a scotch, yeah. It's a blended scotch whiskey. Famous Grouse in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I looked at the whiskey sour, a lot of the time they suggest bourbon.
This is what they do. But there's
you decide to be the rebel.
No reason for that.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I think that's just because they're American, and that's sort of their go-to. But
sure. We're more international.
We are. And when you think about it, I mean, I put in 4 ounces. So you basically just knocked back an ounce and a half of booze.
Neat.
No, it was with lemon. And an ice cube.
Oh, you're right. Could have sworn it was neat.
But it went down smooth.
And so, did you find any recipes when you had looked that did not have bourbon that used...
I only looked up a couple. Okay. I don't know. But it seemed like suggested it. I think when I looked up the history of the whiskey sour, it says it's traditionally made with a bourbon.
Oh,
of course, like Fred said, that's maybe a bit American-centric. I don't know.
So. Right. Well, yeah, the funny thing is, too, is that for whatever reason, and this is probably just the way I have been... overhearing it over the years, and then now sort of the way it's presented, bourbon is bourbon. I know that it is whiskey, but they usually call it bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they call something whiskey, I think of a rye. I think of scotch as scotch.
Right.
I think Irish.
Ah, there you go.
I don't think of bourbon or scotch.
Right. You think of Irish whiskey Irish whiskey. Yeah. Mm. And I would think, maybe I would think Irish whiskey or I would think rye whiskey.
Mm.
But I think bourbon is bourbon. I think scotch is scotch.
I would have thought of like a Johnny Walker, Cutty Sark.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
If somebody said whiskey to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just an old straight up blended whiskey. Just,
right.
And
I would probably have thought of Ballantine's.
Or Ballantine's, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we could have bought a Valentine's, but I would have had to, you know, bought a Valentine's.
Yeah, and we're not buying anything new for this show until somebody starts giving us money for it.
Yep. Oh. I've got a bottle of B&B I haven't cracked open yet.
Oh, I have a B&B cocktail that we can use for our New Year's
what?
Show.
What? All right, perfect.
Unless it, well, it might involve some stupid... rhubarb.
Do we have to get
the shrub?
Rhubarb
but,
shrub.
Nah, but yeah, I'll double check on it.
All right.
I'm not promising anything for the New Year's.
Well, I've got a lot of unopened bottles, so we've got enough to keep going at least until next August.
That's right. But the fun is that they all require shrubs. It's things that have been steeped.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's getting hard to find stuff that's just made with things you buy in bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes to do the, you know, I'll take your anise seeds, put it in your bottle of whiskey, steep it for 3 days, mm-hmm. and you have your licorice whiskey.
That's right. Now buy a smoking gun thing and just give it a shot of smoke.
I want a smoking gun. I do want a smoking gun.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you asked for it for Christmas?
Oh, I should mention it.
You should.
There's still a couple of days left, and they can't be that hard to find.
No.
Probably everywhere.
London Drugs has them. They're the greatest drugstore on earth.
Rexall might
have
them.
Don't mention them unless they're paying for it.
Oh, that's right. Well, here, in return, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a story about London Drugs.
Yeah, that they're horrible?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where somebody got an answering machine from London Drugs.
Yeah.
New.
Right.
It had messages on it. Oh. Be careful what you buy at London Drugs.
Good point.
I'll retract the story for $15.
What about chocolate bars?
We're not looking for
Mr. London, if you're listening.
H.Y. Louie. We're not looking for sponsors anymore. It's purely extortion now.
Yeah. We don't send you an invoice. We send you a ransom note.
Yeah.
That's right.
We give you a bad publicity unless you give us $15 to stop.
You know,
pretty reasonable, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's called negative option advertising.
So
we criticize you.
A bit of a heads up, Mayflower moving. They could be next.
They could be next.
Yeah.
You better get a...
You better... You know, you got 2 weeks to get us a check.
What was the Monty Python sketch? Oh, it was blackmail, right? You're going to send us this if we don't release the pictures of who you were with that... whatever, last night. Michael Palin at his smarmiest in a glittery blazer.
Nothing like it. Speaking of which, John Cleese is coming next year.
You know, bless his heart.
But he really, I think he's just doing it for the money now, isn't he?
Really?
He's got eight ex-wives who all want money from him.
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is they're all doing it for the money. Jerry Seinfeld is doing it for the money.
Well, he doesn't need it. But he doesn't need
the money. He doesn't need the money.
He's got $1 billion.
Desperate for the money.
So you would see Jerry because he doesn't need it. But you won't see John Cleese because he does need it.
I will not see John Cleese or Jerry because I've seen both John Cleese and Jerry.
Oh, I haven't seen
I've seen John Cleese twice.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him at the...
Yeah.
His ex-wives, thank you.
Yes. I saw him at the O.
Two.
Yeah, two. Twice.
Right.
No, once.
Once.
But I was like 400 feet away.
Oh, you got to get the better seats.
Yeah,
you need to get a better guy.
If I was at the QE, the equivalent would be I'd be at the other side of the post office.
True, and on top of it,
I would have been on the roof of the post office.
No, the building on the other side of the post office. Looking out.
Yeah, the 10th floor, looking just over the post office. If they had a little hole in the QE that I could look through the roof. That would be the equivalent of what I saw in 2014.
Excuse me. Sorry, I didn't get better seats.
I want my money back.
For the final episode, final performance of Monty Python.
Mm.
No, it was great.
The QE seating is also equally bad.
It is.
Yes.
But if you're just looking at one guy, you know, you can afford to be closer.
Because you and I saw with Eric Idle.
Yes, John Cleese and Eric Idle together at the QE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't remember hearing about that one.
No, I think you were busy that night.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like something to be your cup of tea.
Yeah, I know. That's what Stan said about when Monty Python came through in 1976.
I took you to Monty Python in London.
I know. Stop complaining. But I could have seen them all in the QE.
That's true. Before Graham Chapman died.
Before...
That.
And then Dave and I saw Eric Idle at the Orpheum.
Yeah, so you got them all covered.
Even closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know we never saw
Graham. Is that what it was called?
No, that was the Eric Idle rips off Monty Python.
Oh.
The first one.
I thought it was Eric Idle even closer.
No. They don't go that way. Because the next one was Eric Idle, the Greedy Bastard Tour.
Yes.
And now they're all like the final ripoff, and mm-hmm. we need your money, and they put those titles in.
As long as they have new stuff. Well, he's just going to talk.
Yes.
So, in theory, maybe stuff you haven't heard before.
Who?
Cleese, although it's unlikely.
No, I think it's pretty pat, because when he did the alimony tour, mm-hmm. and then he did the last chance to see me before I'm dead tour.
Right.
That was two tours ago. I don't know what... What was the Eric Idle one called? It was called...
I've been holding out for the actual last one. I think this might be it.
It might be. You never can tell.
He's like 80.
But this one's called something like that. Is this the... I don't know. The penultimate? I don't know.
Here's my children's inheritance. You know, he called his children ungrateful.
Did he?
Yes.
Recently?
He said, yeah, it was a newspaper article. He said one was is good and the other's okay. But they're generally ungrateful. Well. And the earth is littered with his ex-wives.
Mm. I think you got to read it like John Cleese. Yeah. And it's like, one's all right. And the other one's okay.
Yeah.
And they're both generally ungrateful. And then you go, ah, ha, 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 ha.
See, when you say it like that.
He secretly loves them.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw him with one of them.
Unfortunately, that doesn't come across in a...
In a print
interview.
Yes. John Cleese must read aloud all of his print interviews.
Yeah.
I know that he's very upset about Brexit and Britain in general.
Sure.
I keep seeing clips of...
Oh, yes, he's moving.
Yeah.
He's moving to that island, which I've seen a documentary on. I can't remember.
Mallorca?
No. It's a British... Well,
that's right.
It's in the Caribbean.
Yes, yeah, a saint.
No, it's not a saint.
Is it the Maldives?
No, but the Maldives is off India.
Okay.
You're not even close. You're not in the wrong ocean.
I've seen the word, though, yes.
Yeah, I've seen the...
They all go to this one.
Yeah.
Because it's a tax haven, right?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
You can't be taxed. It was a tax loophole.
And he's got to do something.
He's sick to death of England.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even though this is a British territory.
They're idiots.
Well, he's not ridiculous. No. Of Britain.
I should mention, for those who are listening still, come visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/cocktailgents.
I've got to figure out how to put stuff up there.
You did once.
Did
I don't know how you haven't done it since.
I've run out of time. And I think you've got the same stuff I've got.
No, you've got different video. You put up video of your Portland trip.
Oh, there you go. We also have a blog site called www.gentlemanofelegantleisure.com.
That's right, our site, our website, and of course, Instagram and YouTube. Instagram is Cocktail Podcast, all one word. And I don't just go to YouTube and type in Gentleman Elegant Leisure because we don't have a custom URL.
Yeah.
We don't have enough views yet.
But you'll find us.
You'll find us. If you really want us.
If you really want
you'll
us.
Find us.
And if you don't really want us, well, I don't know why you're still listening.
Well, yeah, you turned this off 20 minutes ago.
What's the minute timer that we're at?
Oh, we're 1 hour and 6 minutes and 30-something seconds.
Oh, and you've hung on this long and you're not interested in us? Go to all those other sites.
Yeah.
See what we're all about.
But yeah, send us some ideas. If you want to see a twist on a cocktail.
Yeah, we've had...
Not like we're running out of ideas, but sure, we'd like to get some...
Yeah, follow Linda's example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Send in a request.
P.S. We are out of ideas. Help us.
I might just do another whiskey sour. That was pretty good.
A whiskey or sour?
Or whiskey.
Post your suggestions on any of our social media sites or... Our
we have
email.
Your email address.
It's gelweb99. That's gelweb99@gmail.com. There you go.
We won't spam you.
I didn't even.
We won't ham you.
We don't know how to spam yet.
No. No, if we could, we would have done it by now.
Yeah.
We can't do it.
We can't do it.
We can't even make ourselves findable on iTunes.
No.
You have to actually type in our name. If you type in what we're talking about, you won't find us.
No, not at all.
And I don't know how to change it.
Mm.
I will.
Yeah.
Have we had any other contacts through the internet over the last little while?
Yeah, we've had some likes from different people. Somebody from Atlanta, Georgia liked one of our posts on Facebook.
Holy smokes. Mm.
Your friend Edward...
Fallis?
Fallis.
Mm-hmm.
He
cousin
likes...
Cousin Eddie?
Your cousin Eddie?
Not really my cousin. He likes us?
He likes us.
I haven't talked to Eddie for a while. I wonder if he listens in on these...
No, I think he is.
We've got our amateur haberdasher friend in L.A.
Do?
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Toronto?
Yeah.
Is that what he's doing
you
now?
No, he should. Mm. He's got the hands for it.
Oh, yeah. Big, meaty, haberdashery hands.
Are you referring to Tweet Smut?
Mm? Yes.
Referring to Tweet Smut.
Yep.
That's his... visit Tweet Smut on Instagram.
Yeah, his
that's his handle.
Yeah, he has a real name.
Yeah,
right.
He has a real name, but
he's also into cocktails and other things.
Has he commented on us?
He's liked a lot of stuff.
He liked a lot of stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, the odd thing. So he's paying attention. And
we're gonna go tweet smut.
Yeah,
we're gonna. Where's my phone? We should really should. Next time we'll have his real name. I think I might have mentioned it before. Mm. But yeah, we've got a lot of listeners out there. By a lot, I mean over, you know, three or four.
Oh, and then Dave Carroll has just chimed in.
Oh, and has he? What's Dave got to say?
I don't know. It's going to disappear and I can't read. Hello, hello.
Oh.
For the making of... Oh, it's gone.
That sounds just like it. Very good. But, well, that's good. So we're getting a little bit of attention. So, but yeah, so what we got coming up...
Well, as usual, Dave flees the country for the holidays.
I do. I got to get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, he does.
But you don't need to know that. It's going to be seamless.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about this at a production meeting after we turn the microphones off.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas on cocktails, though?
There's one with the B&B in it and the rhubarb shrub.
Well, I'm in.
Because this one will come December 29th will be our next episode up.
Right.
So it will truly be a New Year's episode.
So rhubarb shrub. Are you serious about that?
No, but there's something. There's either going to be cardamom
something
syrup.
Something exotic.
Syrup, or there's some sort of steeped syrup.
Well, maybe we should make the next episode based on unopened bottles that we have.
I don't think I have an unopened bottle.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But I'll throw it over to you. You find two drinks with unopened bottles with a new New Year's Eve theme.
Okay.
And then the show is yours.
All right, good.
I'll give you the passwords, and I'm walking away.
We'll save the eggnogs for next year.
Well, we did them the previous year.
Well, I was going to do mine.
The frothy syllabub
or the Old English sack posset.
You can do the sack posset and the syllabub.
They take a lot of cooking.
Apparently, well, you can do just the syllabub.
Yeah. It also requires less cooking, but also has to be cooked. It's a sort of a custardy kind of a thing.
Well,
and Dave doesn't like me in his kitchen.
Or you have to do it.
Make a mess. I make enough of a mess here on my dining room table, let alone.
You don't cook it previously.
This is my point.
You have to cook it on the show?
Well, if I just served it, then we'd be losing out on about 30 minutes of content.
That's okay, because you could tell what the process was.
Could I?
Because nobody wants to talk for 30 minutes while you slowly stir a pot.
Yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, no, we can fill 30 minutes.
Can we?
Or the illusion of 30 minutes. Mm. Just talking to us for 5 minutes is like spending 30 minutes with us.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people hate us.
Sure. No.
We have a cult following.
Yeah. We're the
means
Norm,
most people don't like
we're them. The Norm MacDonald of cocktail podcasts.
Yeah. We wish we were the Norm MacDonald podcast.
We'd be on Netflix if we were the Norm MacDonald podcast.
Plus, I'm just talking about personally. A lot of people don't like us.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so.
Who said that?
This is neat news to Dave.
Oh. Well, nobody said it. I just get the feeling. Like, if we were to be somewhere right now and we were talking like this, somebody would be at the next table like, fuck, I wish those guys would shut up. They think they're so smug and clever.
Yeah, but the people say that even when we're not doing a podcast.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime we go anywhere.
It sounds a lot like what you would say if we were...
I tend to... what's that?
Project?
Project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're loud? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, maybe that's it. He does have theatrical training.
But you know how we get over that problem.
How do we get over that problem?
Training?
No, but if say a bar server doesn't like us, how do you make them like you?
I don't know.
Stop calling them sweetie.
I guess you could probably reach into your
pocket,
your silk purse,
yeah,
whatever you keep your farthings and drachmas in.
In my silk purse,
and you could make sure you catch their eye because you know you're trying to make an impression,
and they're ignoring you because they don't like you.
They don't like you.
Yeah,
they think that you're full of yourself, a bit of a stuff shirt.
Yeah, you think you know everything about cocktails
because you're professional.
You host a podcast on cocktails.
That's right. Nobody's listening. So yeah, you reach deep into your pockets then. You say, "Hey,
Chuck,"
and they say, "My name's not Chuck." You say, "Yeah. Pretend it is
Charles."
Charles, thank you for this lovely night tonight. You know, I host a podcast called The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to mention you on the show. Mm-hmm. And I got the feeling that we got off to the wrong start here when I dumped that whole bottle of scotch off the bar and refused to pay for it. Please, let me make it up to you. I want to be your friend. You reach into your pocket, You pull out all of the money you have left in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You drop it on the bar.
Yeah.
You know what that's called?
Oh. Tipping big?
Tipping
big.